How to acquire customers with SEO and content with Araminta Robertson. The In Search SEO podcast is brought to you by SimilarWeb, helping you build better SEO strategies with digital intelligence, insights, and data. Hey, it's David. Are you actually measuring the number of customers you actively acquire through SEO and content? That's what we're talking about today with a lady who's host of the Market Like a FinTech podcast and co-runs the FinTech Marketing Hub's events and conferences. She runs a content marketing agency that helps financial services companies like Confused.com, Jeeves and Zai acquire customers and position themselves as experts with content marketing. A warm welcome to the In Search SEO podcast, the managing director at Mint Studios, Araminta Robertson.
Hi, David. Great to be here.
Hey, Araminta. Great for you to be here. Thank you for joining me. Well, you can find Araminta over at mintcopywritingstudios.com. So Araminta, why the specialism in fintech?
I guess because that's where my career started. I started in fintech and financial services by starting my own personal finance blog a few years ago. One day I realized that I didn't really understand much about money because we're not really taught about it in schools, taxes, mortgages, all those things. And so I started reading books and writing a blog. So I'd read a book and then write a blog about it. And that way I kind of taught myself. And I just discovered this passion for understanding financial topics. And through that, content marketing, because as you're building a blog, you learn about ranking on Google and on about backlinks and about guest posts. And a fintech company hired me after seeing that. And that's kind of kicked off from there. And I still love writing about financial topics today. So it's all worked out.
Great. That's a wonderful story. Well, content marketing can mean many things, of course. But you tend to be focused on acquiring customers. So should every content marketer be focused on acquiring customers?
I mean, it depends on what your objective is. It depends on, you know, do you work for a company or a publisher? Do you work for your own website? I'm talking to mainly marketers or content marketers who work within a financial services company. And so usually they are held accountable for leads, MQLs, SQLs, revenue, ultimately. And so that's what I talk a lot about is content marketing for customer acquisition, because when you work for a company as a marketer, that is the focus, that is what you're held accountable for by your leaders, by the marketing function.
It makes sense. It's what people are looking to measure success by in many instances. And of course, people tend to gravitate towards SEO as a result of perhaps having success through paid search to begin with. And those are very specific queries that they can target. But then moving on to content marketing, they want to have that same measure of success. Is that the logical sequence that you find people come to you because they've maybe achieved some success through paid search and now they want to ideally reduce their acquisition costs but still be very targeted?
Sometimes, but not always. I think most people come to us because they want content that will help position them or position the company as an expert. So content marketing is typically seen as something for brand awareness, brand building, which it is very good for, but I have to be usually the one to say, actually, you can also use it for customer acquisition, primarily via SEO, primarily via, you know, ranking on search. Yeah, it's not typically in the financial services space anyway. Typically, they're coming to us first because they need help with thought leadership content. And we're the ones to say, well, actually, we can actually help you with acquiring customers as well.
From the same piece of content, or is this part of an overarching content marketing strategy that incorporates brand and customer acquisition, but not necessarily from the same piece?
I usually say what one piece of content has to have one overarching goal, because if you want your piece of content to be both brand building and helping with lead generation, that can be quite difficult because they're often written differently and will have a different story to it. So I wouldn't say you'd use one for both, but we'd figure that out when we put together the content strategy. What is your main objective? And then we'd kind of work backwards from there and put together a strategy that helps reach those objectives. So it kind of depends on whether they want brand building or lead gen, or of those two, which one is a bigger priority. And I'd go back, yeah, backwards from there.
And I guess that if brands haven't really considered what a content strategy is, publishing much content before, then it makes logical sense to focus on the bottom of the funnel to begin with.
Yeah, so again, it depends on the situation of the company, but typically the companies that we talk to don't have huge marketing budgets. A lot of our advice out there is, you know, build a media company or build a media arm of your company with content. And although that does work quite well, usually it's companies with huge marketing budgets that can do that. And so what we advocate for is actually for a normal company that doesn't have huge VC budgets, it makes more sense to start with the bottom of the funnel. Start by targeting those people who already know they have a problem and are actively looking for it. That way you get results sooner. You also learn more about your customers because you can talk to them. You also get a better understanding of what does and doesn't work. So that feeds into your strategy. And then once you've done a lot of bottom of the funnel, you can work your way up and do middle and then top. But the thing is that a lot of content marketers in financial services and many other industries start with the top of the funnel. And that can work, but it takes so much longer to get results. And ultimately, if you're accountable for leads, if your leader is saying, you know, where are the customers, and you start with the top of the funnel, it's going to be years before you really can, you know, bring in anything. So that's why we advocate for starting with people who are already close to converting.
And how do you establish precisely what you should be writing about to target the most appropriate bottom of the funnel phrases?
So we would start by spending a couple of weeks interviewing people on the team who really understand their customers. So these are typically salespeople or customer service reps, but we would interview them, and there's like a list of questions that we like to ask to really understand who is this company's best customer? Who are the people that bring in the most amount of revenue, stay around the longest, require the least amount of support? And then based on those questions, what are their pain points? What are they researching for online? Who are they comparing you to? And based on those kind of research calls, we can then put together a strategy and decide on what keywords to go after and what topics to write about.
Brilliant. Yeah. I mean, I love that. You're talking to the real people that know the customers or the customers directly. And it, I guess, gives you a lesser chance of missing key opportunities.
Yes, I guess. It's kind of doing customer research, I guess. It's starting your content strategy based on customer research rather than just on, you know, using an SEO tool and basing it on that. So to us, it's really important. And also, like, if you just use an SEO tool, then you're just going to end up competing against everyone else. Whereas if you do it based on your customers or your customer pain points, that's how you can find keywords and you can find topics that no one else is writing about, and therefore gives you a much better chance of ranking and, of course, of bringing in customers.
And you say that your content should be written for the knowledge level of the buyer. So how do you establish that and incorporate that within your content?
So this is really important because I'm sure as anyone else in the content marketing or SEO industry would agree with me, a lot of SEO content out there is very beginner and general. And we work with a lot of B2B financial services companies. When you're targeting like a head of payments or a director of commerce, like these are people who already have a certain level of knowledge. So the example that I always use is you're a payment company, right? Imagine. And even though the person you're targeting isn't a super big expert on payments, they will have some level of knowledge. In other words, you don't need to start your article with what is payments, right? You don't need to start with such a beginner topic. And so a lot of content out there misses the mark. They're creating content for the wrong reason. They're creating it to rank and not actually to speak to the target customer and to convert the reader into a buyer. That's why a big part of what we do is content that is specifically like written for that buyer and is therefore more advanced than your typical SEO beginner content.
Great advice. And you always see a lot of B2B content targeting competitor names, perhaps having comparison tables, how they compare against another competitor in the landscape. Is that a decent strategy to get going with as well?
Yeah, so this is the topic of my upcoming Brighton SEO talk, because time and time again, across all of our clients, the type of content that has always brought in or has had the highest conversion rates is competitor content. So your classic, you know, top spend management tools or competitor A versus competitor B. These articles really bring in a lot of conversions for our clients. And it's very simple. It's because someone who's comparing different products is clearly ready to convert. You know, think about when you last bought a chair or a car or a phone, you were probably spending hours comparing different products. And that's because when you're comparing, it indicates that you're close to buying. And so that's why writing competitor pieces or comparison posts is so good, or is such an important part of a content marketing strategy, because that will help you bring in conversions. And there's so many other reasons that they're good to write, but I won't get into them right now. But they're a great piece of content or to put into your strategy.
Is it not difficult to rank for keywords in relation to your competitors? Because I'm thinking that there are many comparison websites, software comparison sites, sites like G2 that are highly authoritative and perhaps rank highly for those terms, and it might be tricky to compete with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways around that. There's a lot of little small things that you can do. For example, you can try ranking for keywords like two people who are comparing two of your competitors, and then kind of piggyback onto that and add your own product. And then this is where keyword research comes into it, right? Use your SEO tool and try and find the ones or those combinations of comparison posts where you're more likely to rank and rank higher. But yeah, it's interesting that you say G2 and Capterra, because I talk about them also, because these are charging $5,000 a month for you to put your product on there. And I'm always like, why not write your own comparison posts that then you're able to share your own narrative, go into more detail about your product, and you don't have to pay $5,000 a month. So yeah, there are ways around it.
Yeah, spend the budget in content marketing instead.
Yeah, totally.
And you're also a fan of basing your content on interviews with internal experts. Why is that?
Yeah, well, again, when you're creating more advanced content for an advanced buyer, especially one of the bottom of the funnel, where you're going to be talking, you're going to go into more detail about features and benefits and examples and use cases, it's just a lot easier to create high quality content when you base your content on an interview with an expert on the company's team. It allows you to go into more detail about examples or use cases. And of course, like, I just believe in general, content should be based on an interview with an expert, because it allows you to create content that's just so much more unique, more interesting, and it actually helps you build your company as a thought leader, because it's coming from the mouth of an actual expert or thought leader. And I mean, I don't have to tell you this, but Google is clearly favoring people who create content based on interviews with experts. So it just makes so much more sense, and it allows you to create much higher quality content, and it's the kind of content that brings in conversions as well.
And if you're struggling to get many internal experts on board, can it be just as effective to utilize external experts?
Yeah, I mean, I've written an entire piece on how to do this. There are like little tricks that you can do to try and get your internal experts on board. I mean, this is more about buy-in and management techniques. But yeah, external experts, why not? They won't be able to go into detail about your product. That's the only negative, because obviously they won't know your product. But if you're just, maybe you're creating more of a top of the funnel or middle of the funnel piece and you want an expert, yeah, why not? If you can get an external expert, that's definitely a better than nothing, I would say.
And what are one or two metrics to focus on to track success?
Success for conversions?
Yeah, so looking at your analytics, are there any metrics that you'd like to highlight that will measure and track your content marketing success?
Well, if your focus is on generating leads and acquiring customers, then of course, number one is how many conversions is your content generating. HubSpot, you can track first and last click. So that's a big part of what we track. And then the other one that I think is really important is revenue. How much, you know, you could be generating 50 signups a month, but if each signup is worth £1 or $1 compared to, I don't know, 10 signups that are each worth 1,000, it's clear which one's more valuable. So that's why it's really important to still be measuring revenue, so you can actually say, okay, is this bringing quality conversions? So I would just say those two. There's obviously many more metrics I would track, but these two are very important.
So are you actively using AI in the production of content at the moment? And what's the future of content marketing with the advent of AI?
Yeah, I mean, I just think at the moment, the goal should not be mediocre content, right? That should not be your goal when creating content and your content strategy. So AI might help with the admin side of things, or it might help with like optimizing or spelling checks and that kind of thing. But producing the content itself, I think everyone would agree with me that the quality is just not there. And so we currently would only use it for stuff like, okay, for ideas for a better title, like the title of the article or meta description, like small things like that, maybe to check for spelling mistakes. But for creating the content itself, quality is just not there yet. So we have our own processes to do that.
Let's finish off with
the Pareto pickle.
So Pareto says you can get 80% of your results from 20% of your efforts. What's one SEO activity you would recommend that provides incredible results for modest levels of effort?
Well, I would say go into your Google Analytics or your HubSpot and sort out or compare the content that has decreased in traffic, and if you can as well, decreased in conversions over the past. You could compare maybe the last 3 months to the previous 3 months. And one quick and easy fix or easy task you can do is update that content to make it more relevant, to make it higher quality, maybe to optimize it for keywords and SEO. Because clearly, if that content has brought in conversions before, but the traffic is decreasing, improving it, optimizing it will get it back up. And that's a nice, easy win that could bring in quite a big jump in conversions.
Lovely practical tip there. I've been your host, David Bain. You can find Araminta Robertson over at mintcopywritingstudios.com. Araminta, thank you so much for being on the InSearch SEO podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening. Check out all the previous episodes and sign up for a free trial of the SimilarWeb platform over at SimilarWeb.com.